Hello and welcome to the D Street Talk podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shitaj Anand and today I have with me a very special guest, Abhishek Banerjee, who is a CEO of Lotus Dew. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Banerjee.
Thank you, Shitaj. Glad to be here.
Right. Well, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, Nifty is soaring to fresh record highs almost on a daily basis, largely following what is happening globally. Now, how do you see this global market in the year 2021? Where will be the outperformance come from this year? Because if you look at the year 2020, Korea led the rally, and which could be the next hotspots?
It's a very relevant question. Thanks, Shitaj. So before we answer this question, I think let's take a little bit of a step back and compare these markets and why, where is this rally coming from, and can we analyze this rally a little better than just the performance header performance numbers. So the main point here is that the composition of markets in terms of sector composition is widely different in different parts of the geography. Just to give you one example, Korea has roughly 60% of its index weight, which is MSCI index, in information technology and communication. So technology, basically. So it's a dominant technology play compared to that country like India or Brazil has hardly, 15-20% in technology. So what we consider as, performance or outperformance between countries is interestingly also a sector play rather than so much of a country play, because it depends on what is exactly listed. Coming back to your specific question, if you look at the indices, like Taiwan has 60% technology, Korea has 44% technology, and some of the ancillary companies are trying to pivot to technology. The country that is closest to India in terms of sector composition of the index is actually Japan. And interestingly, Japan has a debt to GDP of almost 270%, where India is around 90%. And Japan has massively pumped in liquidity through its central banking operations. And the central bank in Japan also buys equity ETFs. So if you think about this for a moment, what this means is that either the countries have done better because technology has been a rallying sector, or they have additionally much more liquidity in the market than India has been able to do. And to that, comparing these two parallels, I think there's still enough value left within emerging markets. There has been a recent outperformance of emerging markets compared to global markets. So, emerging markets have been underperforming developed markets for quite some time now. And it looks like initially the money is returning to emerging markets, trying to find growth into interesting propositions and trying to capture better yields on required yield out of wealth. So putting these two together, I think India still can remain very attractive. Mm-hmm. And of course, more liquid and deep markets like US, Germany, UK could be also very attractive. But, I think the time is still for emerging markets. And in that, I think India is very well positioned to take leadership in the rally in 2021. So my guess is that India should be one of the top performers.
Right. Well, I'm sure investors would take that with both hands. India should be the top performer in the emerging market space. And there's another sector which has been, it has been in focus in the year 2021, and that is financials. In fact, the, RBI's financial stability report also quoted that there could be an increase in GNPAs in the forthcoming quarters. Now, if you remember, financials were the underperformers of the year 2020, but yes, it recouped most of the losses, but still it ended in a negative zone. So can that turn out to be a dark horse in the year 2021? That's what I'm sure most investors would want to know, because financials occupy quite a lot of weightage in the Nifty 50 as well as in the Sensex.
Correct. So financials are a very, very important component for an emerging market, because unlike developed markets, where every part of the value chain can be a separate business and maybe many of them have listed competitions, one of the greatest ways to access business activity in an emerging market is to invest in financials, because they capture the broad economic activity way better than anything else. Compared to a developed market in US, for example, which has a separate listed entity for every activity that can happen in a global, you know, in a business context or business activity context. So therefore, for emerging markets, financials is the way to kind of take advantage of the economy. But again, one thing which many people have noticed and have woken up to the fact is that listed markets need not represent the GDP and economic activity, right? Because in India, traditionally, many of the listed players have been exporters. So they are actually tied to the fate of, you know, countries that they're exporting to, rather than exactly what is happening within the economy. Just to come back, circle back to your example as to what do you think about financials, I'll give you a couple of data points. So for example, I was just previously talking about emerging market indices. Reliance in MSCI is still categorized as an energy player, right? So, and we all know forward looking why Reliance has raised money and where they want to go.
Absolutely.
The question is, you know, are the sector classifications correctly representing the future value? And, you know, would you call Reliance an energy player? Or if they come into retail and try to capture retail market, can they not also become lenders and become a financial going forward? So those kind of active decisions have to be taken by a active portfolio manager. And it's all right to kind of do passive investments when you don't have a view, but there are enough number of very experienced portfolio managers who can take such decisions for you and give you an, you know, forward-looking return. Coming back to your question about financials, we noticed that India so far has tried to stimulate the economy through COVID response by providing credit guarantees or providing you know, monetary benefits, right, mostly from the monetary channel. And to that extent also, what they have focused on is not to do handouts of money so much as the Western economies have done. And I think that's a very smart move by the global, in the global context, because Indians are habitual savers. So if we didn't have avenues to spend, if you got money in your bank account, you would probably end up saving it, most of it. Right. And that creates liability on the books of the banks that didn't exist before, and also for the government.
Right.
Right? So the main intent of these stimulative actions is to enable marginal spending, which is what creates the velocity of money in the economy, the M1 and the M3. And I think that is expected to come, because we are seeing light at the end of the tunnel with vaccine being rolled out. I think there's a lot of expectation from the budget that it will be stimulative in nature. And you know, most of this, bulk of this economic activity will indeed be captured by financials. So that's one part of the story where you're talking about demand. But if you talk about supply side, right, where it is known that the Indian government is expected to invest up to $1.5 trillion in infrastructure. I think it is not hard to imagine that much of this might come from external borrowing. And it is in the best interest of Indian government to have lower cost of capital, because this will enable them to borrow and have long-term capital available. So if you put these two together, you know, I could see the net interest margins for financials being quite healthy going forward, and most of the NPAs have been cleaning up. So I'm pretty positive that financials could turn out indeed to be the winning horse for 2021. And Indian markets are heavily financial oriented. So, and again, coming back to the previous question as to how we are structured and how the index are composed, these two could very well be complementary to each other.
Right. And another sector which has been in focus is the real estate sector. In fact, the real estate companies are also finding their mojo back, especially after the recent stamp duty cut seen in Maharashtra. So what is your view on the real estate sector? And does it make sense to allocate fresh cash in the sector at current levels?
Right, Shitish. So stamp duty cut is specific to Maharashtra. And though Maharashtra is a very big and important market, but ultimately, real estate is a countrywide phenomenon. What is interesting is for most people who have been caught in the lockdown, they have started to appreciate their dwelling way more because they have never probably had so much time within their dwelling. So dwelling is top of the mind share for most people. You can see that being expressed as home improvements, where you have paint companies which are likely to do well, or you know, home suppliers, cement companies could benefit from this. So we, of course, have our AI models where we track dominant bet through public disclosures. And going forward, we can see in the near future that real estate is where the top mind share is of investors globally. So to your point, apart from, you know, the state-specific story of Maharashtra, where, of course, incentivizing additional purchase of real estate as a sector within the country, and especially in the affordable home segment, which is actually a very large segment, dwelling would be a aspirational thing which people will go for because they have started to understand and realize the benefit of a house on having a house and a roof on the head. So definitely it's somewhat emotional but also expected going forward.
Right. And I'm sure the last question is something which you know, most investors would want to know at this point in time. So with markets touching record highs, does it make sense you know, for them to book partial profits now and have some cash chest to be used on declines?
So cash chest is there's always good to have some dry powder left to dip into it opportunistically. Market timing or when to get in and out is a difficult question, but as professional investment managers, that's where we can probably add value. And it cannot be based on gut or based on you know, how we feel about the market. So we run a systematic process where what we are trying to do is capture the global sentiment in terms of actual investor actions. Just to explain this a bit more, my co-founder, Dr. Prachi, she did a lot of work on behavioral finance. And what we have found is where brokers enable retail and professional clients to take leverage, that leverage is available in the form of margin on the account. And if you aggregate this margin globally, you come up with a net margin position. And why is this data important? Because if you are as an investor are not very confident about the forward-looking view of the market, you're likely to use less of the leverage. But if you're very confident, you're likely to use more of the leverage that is given to you. And when we are tracking this data, we don't see any risk off at an aggregate intelligence. So we do not recommend taking money off the table in a meaningful manner. I think there's still legs left. As I said, the budget is supposed to be stimulative. That is the expectation. The flow is coming back to emerging markets. The issue is that people are thinking like, you know, why is this rally there? And is this going to end soon? And unless we are, unless you have a dashboard of data, for example, the indicators that we look at, it's very hard to make a systematic decision. And the indicators or the mantra that we can kind of give you is that we look at the broker margin globally, we look at flow of money into emerging market, we look at sector composition and forward-looking sector dominance. And based on these three indicators, our recommendation is that there's still enough left in the market, enough legs left in the market, and we are advising our clients as well as people who position themselves into our portfolio to do so.
Right. Well, thank you, Mr. Banerjee, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business, and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Shitaj.